he is my daddy, I can walk in and tell him, Daddy, I have need. I have need. He says, Son, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Amen. Lying devil want to tell me I can't? I tell you I will. When you tell me that I can't, I'll show you that God can. Amen. The devil's no cannot compete with God's yes. Get your Bibles, please. Are you ready for this? Are you sure you're ready? Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. Josh, thank you. Continue to play, sir. I'm going to try to get through this message. The Lord has put this on my heart for quite some time. It is 11:10 now. I welcome those that are joining us on the podcast and soon to be joining us live on the internet. We will be doing live broadcast, live webcasting out of the House of Manna here within the next couple of weeks. We have the internet getting ready to come in here tomorrow for the House of Manna in preparation for us to come out of the cave. Amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Follow along with me. I know there's many preachers in this room that preach this story left and right, upside down. The paint off the walls would come off. But let me preach my message. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he, his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, do not torment me. For he had been saying to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking him, What is your name? And he said to him, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. How many of you know that demons are territorial? They want to stay in that place. They don't want to be ran out. Now there was a large herd of bacon. herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, Send us into the bacon so that we may enter them. Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Verse 14, the herdsmen ran away and reported in the city, in the country, and the people... And the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon possessed sitting down, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon possessed man, and all about the swine, and they begin to implore him to leave the region. Can you say with me, push? push. One more time, push. Look to your neighbor and say, they pushed. Look to your other neighbor and say, they pushed Jesus out of the country. I want to talk to you about the push and the pull. The push and the pull. Which one are you? Now, I want to share a couple of little nuggets out of the particular reading of the scripture that we just read. And I want to show you that the man that had a legion ran to Jesus and fell at his feet. How is it that we can see in scripture that a legion of demons can go and bow at the feet of Jesus? See, there is such a thing called false humility. I'll say it again, since no one wants to help me in here. There is such a thing called false humility, where we think that we can go through the act of worship, but not really worshiping the true King, but knowing that He is the true King. The spirits even bowed down. Watch what they said. Why are you here to torment us? Now, instead of looking at your neighbor and looking at anybody else, just look at the cross. How many of your demons? I said your demons, not your neighbors. How many of your demons are making you falsely worship Christ? Staring at the cross, or are you looking at that thing that keeps you from getting real close to God because that one demon won't let you go? Okay, for some of y'all religious folks in here saying, but I'm a Christian. I am not demon possessed. I'm talking about the influence in your life that will make you act like you're a Christian, but act more like a serpent out in the real world. Probably that's the reason why a lot of chairs are empty, because they don't want to hear truth. Jesus gets into a region. This man is demon possessed, and then he comes in. Well, wait a minute. Jesus went there in the boat. Didn't he not? If you read the scriptures before, he sent the disciples to get in the boat so they can get to the other side. When they got to the other side, this is that place. Who did they face? They face this demon-possessed man. We all know this to be the demoniac of the Gadarenes, and he's the one that has a legion of demons. So my question is, what was Jesus going to the other side for? Are we reading the same scripture? Got in the boat. He got to the region. And guess who met him in that region? The demons. But what was the purpose of Jesus going there to begin with? Many of you Christians in here would think right away, he just went just for that man. He was sent there by God to go and do something for the region. Not just a man, but for the region. So when he gets there, the man that gets to him is the demon that starts speaking to him. Then the man says, you read it. The man says, don't send them out of the country. Did you read that in your scripture? The man said, don't send them out of the country. Speaking of the demons. The people were so used to the demons in that territory. Don't get rid of them. We like them. Leave them close by. Leave them in the bacon. Don't look at me strange. Don't look at me strange. They were looking at what was going to come back to them. The herders were herding the swine, the pigs. You don't herd swine unless you're herding them someplace to market. Okay, look, I already told you about my Bible's different. Now, how many of you have been around pigs that have gotten loose? Sue-ee! Sue-ee! Some of y'all that have been out there in the farm know what I'm talking about. My granddad used to go and call his pigs when they get loose. Uh-huh. country boy at heart. Stuck in a city boy's body. But you get those snakes around. Oh, Lord, let's get back in the car. Let's get back to the north side. See all the real critters out there. Hey. Going back home. But if you ever seen pigs that get loose, they don't listen. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't be looking at your kids either, because they don't listen. But the pigs were being herded to go to market. Money. And what is pigs good for? Say it again. Say it one more again. But food. You know, they put they smoke it, they cut it, they slice it, they smoke it, they hang it, then they put pepper all over it, and they put that pepper. Oh my goodness. Now watch this. It was a source for that region. Now watch this. Now, the pork rinds are getting ready. They were by the lake. Chicharron. Carnitas. We still got some chitlins. Why are you slowing down, man? You got to help me. Then they wouldn't get me off course. You keep me. You're like, he's over here. No, man, some pepper bacon. Some other pork chops. Man, if they did it right, we could have us some nice tamales and tamalada. Now, watch this. Y'all are looking at me like, man, you got to eat on food, man. Trying to get somewhere about this. The people knew that they were so used to the demons in there. Matter of fact, they got so used to seeing the man the way he was. They're like, keep him out there. I find it very interesting that the herders ran into town to go tell the people what had just happened. And what did the people do? They got mad. They said, who did this? Now, that man over there, is he the one who used to be crazy? No, they used to break all the chains because no one could hold him down. No one had the strength. He's clothed and in his right mind. Praise God. You mess with my pork? You don't mess with my pork chops? My chitlins? My chicharron? Trying to educate y'all. Because what's going on here is that you are messing with the atmosphere of a territory. And what the people are looking at is, we know that man. Obviously there's some power in you. We don't know you. Just because you don't know Jesus, you see the fruit of Jesus, but yet you rather know the demons because you're more familiar with the demon than you are of Jesus. So you're going to push the good thing out and keep the bad. Jesus was sent there by God on purpose to do something for that region, and he got detoured. So the people came in and said, we don't want you. No, thank you for killing them all. We about to have us one of those big old barbecue pits. We just going to go ahead, since they're right there by the water, we just be out the lake, and we're going to have us a big old party. We don't need you in here. We need you to get going. Are you hearing this? Now, the demon speaking, the demon said, just don't send us out of here. Why wouldn't the demons want to leave there? Demons are territorial. They know that region. They're called to that region. They don't want to leave that region. So he says, oh, I know these people. They like to eat unhealthy. They like to have pork chop and eggs in the morning. They like to eat, well, everything, because, you know, they just cut off the feet. Well, pig's feet for snacks in between. Get a couple of the eggs, put it in there, and Lord have mercy. Then we're going to get all these kind of crackling together as we start frying the thing up, making all kinds of pleasant aromas. Along came a brother. Okay. Had a catering company. Make your pig wiggle. He said, hey, don't mess with those ribs now. They're mine. I'm going to put them on the altar today. You know, the fire. Aroma unto the Lord. I want to share with you who was with Jesus. It was the disciples. You need to help me, brother. You're not watching me. You need to help me. One of the disciples was named Marty. Peter, the knucklehead. Every one of you have a characteristics of one of the tribes. One of the disciples. I identified mine. I'm going to share with you. Peter looked at him like, everywhere we go with Jesus, he's feeding people. Come on now. Come on. He had just fed the multitude. He just fed the multitude. And then he tells him, go get in the boat, wait for me, and go to the other side. So they had that food with them of the last miracle that he just did concerning food. So here's Marty thinking in the boat. Man, this fish is good, but man, I want some ribs. I want some chicharron. I want some barbecue ribs with the slathering of that barbecue sauce. And then along comes Jesus walking on the water. There's a ghost. And then Jesus says, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter looks over and Marty says, if it is you, beckon me to come. Marty gets out of the boat and he starts walking. Look at me. I'm walking on water. But then he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts to sink. Marty says, I'm dying. Jesus reaches down and picks Marty up, gets him in the boat, puts him in the boat. He silences the wind and the storm. They get to the other side. And here comes this demon-possessed man. And Marty's hiding in the boat. Oh, Lord. I got your back, Jesus. I got your back. I ain't never seen a man like that. I got your back, Jesus. He's probably looking over at the other disciples saying, man, I know there's some food about to come out of this thing. But man, I ain't never seen no demons like that. He says, you see all these pigs? We about to have us a blowdown. Peter said, Bobby Flay ain't got nothing on this one. Peter got up, he says, I got your back, Jesus. I'll get my sword. Then the demon starts speaking, and Marty put that sword back. He says, we are many. Cast them into the swine. They run in and they drown. Pigs don't know how to swim. Not when there's so many of them. They drown. Peter pulls out his knife. He says, "Now I figured it's a piece of food. Who wants the kale?" He's been sharpened. Who wants an ear? I'm good at cutting off ears. Some of y'all are just, it's coming. Okay, so now look at the situation, and the people say, no, you got to get out of here. This is too much. We don't know who you are. We see what you've done. It's great. Hallelujah. God bless you, but not here. We're going to go back and go get those demons to come back in this region. Now watch this. The man that was clothed in his right mind, he saw Jesus getting back in the boat. He said, "Oh, let me go with you. I see life in you, and there's death here." He says, "No, you can't come." Say detour. Go back. Go tell your family. Go tell your household. Because God was also concerned about them because they've been going through so much. Isn't it funny how God will come and heal a demon-possessed man when he's all by himself to only send him to go back into his family and say, "Oh, what you've been praying for? You may have not been there when God did it, but he did it. He did it, and I'm living proof. And there is a man, and this man is Jesus, that I had an encounter with, and every demon bowed at his feet." Can you imagine that man? Who can take Jesus away from him? No one. No one. But the people detour Jesus. "Pastor, what you talking about?" Well, let me show you. Go with me now to verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over the boat to the other side of the lake, in other words, he went back, a large crowd, say crowd, they gathered around him while he was by the lake. Imagine Peter, "I thought we were going to eat." Peter said, "Man, I was already sharpening my knife. I was about to cut some ears off. I was about to fry those things up. Nothing happened. We couldn't eat. Tired of fish. Tired of bread. I want something meat." Y'all looking in the Bible. It's not in there. Hold up. This is my Bible. Hold up. Now watch this. He gets to the other side. Then, verse 22, then one of the church leaders, synagogue, church leaders, named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Okay, so now we talked on Wednesday about how Jairus was one of the church preachers. He was the pastor. Leaves the pulpit and says, "I gotta go." On the way out, the greeter Darlene tackles him. "You can't leave. You have to preach." Then getting ready to get to the door, then Eric says, "No! You've got to preach. Don't go." Yeah, quit looking at the Bible. It's in mine, not yours. So he leaves the church to get to Jesus. Gets to Jesus. Gets to his feet now. And now requests him to come to the house. Okay, this is a church leader. Church leader has influence. Now, if you read in the Levitical law, that everything that is given to the church... He says, watch this, God says in his word, "Bring meat into my house. Bring meat into my house so that there will be meat for the priests." Right? Okay, that's scripture.
Watch.
The disciple Marty is still with him. Didn't get a chance to get any of the pigs, but said, "Oh, we're going to the priest's home. Oh, there's meat in his house." Follow me. Think about the influence. So Jesus has all these people by the lake. All these people by the lake start following him. Someone gets to his knees that happens to be someone of influence, someone of power and notoriety within the region. "I need you to come. My daughter's dying. There's some desperation here." How many of you know the scripture that says that a good shepherd leaves the 99 to go to get the one? So there was a multitude all around pressing on him. So he tells the disciples, "Let's go. Nobody else can go. But you and you, come with me. And let's go to his house." So, you know, Peter says, "I'll lead the way. There's food in his house." Y'all better start recognizing who Peter really is. So he starts leading Jesus. The other disciples are, you know how they do it? They start, "Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Get up your mind. You got one. Come on, Chris. Come on, Ryan. It's Jesus. Jesus." So Peter's leading. There's a crowd. Y'all are behind him. You're protecting him. It's Jesus. You're protecting him. Jesus. Okay, now watch. So the disciples are behind. Peter's leading the way. "Come on, come on. No, get away. Do not touch the master. Do not. You move out the way. We're going to go eat. Stop it." Right? So now, come on, Inez. Come on. Come on. Yeah, come on. Get behind yourself. There's a big old crowd. And they're going to Jairus' house because he's going to go and heal the daughter. But then everybody's pushing on Jesus. They're pushing and pushing. Involved with your story. They're pushing and touching. But wait, wait. Come on, Hannah. Now there's a whole group of people. Jesus is on a mission. He's going somewhere. There's a whole crowd. Peter's leading. The disciples are around him. Why are they around him? Because they're trying to protect him, getting to where he needs to go. He just said, you, and you are going with me. Everybody else cannot go. But the crowd didn't want to listen. They wanted to go where Jesus was going. So all of a sudden, throughout the whole crowd, someone comes through. Someone comes through with an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. And touches him. Everybody else is touching. How many of them are touching Jesus right now? All of them. But then Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" So he looks to his disciples, and his disciples said, "Really?" Read scripture. Read your scripture. "Really?" Peter turned around. "Really? Who touched you?" Peter, you know Peter. Attitude Peter. You stopped them from going to eat. What? Peter says, "Who touched you? Better yet, who hasn't touched you?" Right? Everybody's touching. So what does Jesus do? He turns around. Uh-oh. A delay and a detour again. Right? He looks at the crowd, but yet the one that touched should have never been out. She had the issue for 12 years. Once Jesus turned around and asked, "Who touched me?" She realized, "I've been healed." She got down on her knees. because she knew that that issue had been healed. How come everybody else that was touching didn't pull virtue out? They were pushing. They were pushing, but she was the only one that pulled on Jesus. She was the only one by faith that pulled on Jesus. Everybody else was pushing on Jesus. Everybody else is pushing Jesus to get him to where he's going. But someone that pulled by faith had him stop and turn around. It is your faith that can pull on Jesus. It is your knowledge that pushes Jesus out of the way. It is your faith that pulls, but it's your knowledge that pushes. It is your faith that has to turn around and delay his process to where he's going. But in that delay, there's purpose in that delay. He turns around and says, "Who touched me?" She had spent everything she had. She went through everything. Now she had this issue for 12 years. Jesus had only been preaching 3.5. She knew not of Jesus. She couldn't be in the church services because she was unclean. She couldn't be in the city square because she was unclean. She couldn't go hear who Jesus was. She said, "I know, I hear that Jesus is passing by. I don't know him. I don't know his message, but I've heard of some things that he has done. I have spent everything that I have. I've gone to every physician that I know. I have no more money. I am broke, and everything that I've gone to do, it's making it worse. I have nothing. Everybody else around her has a reason to be around him. She has no business being around Jesus because she is unclean by the Levitical law. She could be killed right where she's at." He turns and looks at her. Then he says to her, "Arise. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole." She pulled on Jesus. Now watch this. Now, come here, Lionel. Come over here. Come over here, Lionel. Watch this. If you continue reading on the scripture, scripture says that one of the officials from the church came from Jairus' house and said, "Don't even bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." Is. Read your story. Read it. Jesus now turns and looks and then tells the father, "Do not fear. She's only asleep." Wait a minute. She pulled. He turned. The father pulled in desperation. She's dead. Jesus looked and said, "I feel that desperation pull for life, and I am the life. I am the life." Everybody else was pushing, one was pulling, and another one pulled over here out of desperation. "There's nothing that I can do." Now it's beyond this point. This one was 12 years in the circumstance. The baby girl was only 12 years old. Now this baby over here, 12 years? No, she's older. She's lived her life. Why did he turn around and do something for her who's lived her life? It is about to die. But yet at 12 years old over here, he stopped in the middle of where he was going to deal with the woman that had spent everything. There was no way out. There was no hope. There was nothing that she could do. On the way to dying, but he stopped. Many would say that because of his stopping, his delay caused that baby to die. See, and I'm sure the disciples are saying, "Okay, no, we gotta go, pull on the floor, we gotta go. She don't have no money. She spent all her money. Peter's over here. She's broke. She don't have nothing. She doesn't have influence. She's already spent all the money. She's old. You don't need to be dealing with her. Jairus over there, he has money. He's from the church. He has notoriety. Y'all can't go. I don't know why he even dealt with you." The church official has influence. He has money. We need to get into the church. We need to get into the synagogues and make influence there so we can state our case there. And guess what happened? Jesus turned around, talked to the daddy and says, "Let's go." And when they get there, all the commotion is there. And the pull from the father. It wasn't a pull from the daughter, but it was a pull from the father. And I'm sure that the mother was crying. The Bible says that those that were there were crying, wailing, and just crying out loudly. And a crowd was there as well. Another crowd. This turned the tables now. And now we're over here at Jairus' house. And there's people crying. Y'all are crying. Now you're crying. Now y'all are wailing, crying, wailing, you know. We want to hear it. You're crying. Now you're wailing. And then Jesus looks at him. Why are you crying? Why are you crying? Watch this. Oh, she's not dead. She's only asleep. And watch this. What do? They all start laughing. They all start laughing. So then Jesus says, oh, hold on now. You gonna laugh at me? The Bible says what? He put them all out. Get out of here. Go on. Get. So then he goes into the house, goes in, and he tells mom and dad, come in, and the disciples, and they come in, and he shuts the door. Then he touches the little girl, and he raises her up from the dead, tells her, arise, arise. I'm here to tell you that you're pushing on God out of fear. You pushing on God out of desperation. Because you don't know how to wait on God. You pushing on God is not going to have him do anything. But you pulling on him will have him do everything. You pulling on him will pull virtue out of him to heal your circumstance. Your crying and your noise doesn't pull on him. Your crying and your noise irritates him because you have unbelief within you. And when things begin to look really bad, you go from crying, to start laughing. You look like a madman that he dealt with as a Gadarene, because there's so many demons of doubt and unbelief that he's got to put you out. He's looking for someone that will pull on him, pull on him, pull on him. You got to pull on Jesus. You can't go to another church service. Thank you. And then just think that it's going to be the same if you don't pull on Jesus. We got preachers full of anointing that want to come forth and release power, but the people ain't pulling on Jesus. Give me the next revelation. Give me the next nugget. Jesus is saying, pull on me. What you need is me. You don't need more word. You need my word. You need to pull on the word. Pull on him. And he'll turn. And whatever was a delay that delayed him, he'll deal with that individual at that moment. Because they pulled on him. I'm in desperation. I'm pulling on you, Lord. I need change. I'm pulling on you, Lord. I need you. I don't need another physician. I need you. I'm pulling on you, Lord. I'm pulling on you. I'm going to have you detour. I'm going to have you stop what you're doing. I'm going to make you turn around and face me because I'm pulling on your virtue. I know your word is true. I need you, God. I need you to demonstrate. That's when he turns around. And there's a release. A release for what you're in need of. There's a release. We think that we got to do everything that we know. We're going to sow. We're going to sow. We're going to fast and we're going to pray. At some point in your life, you've got to pull on Jesus. You've got to pull so much that he turns around and faces you, faces your circumstance, and he says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. It is not what you can do. It's what you do when you pull out of Jesus. And that's the healing virtue of God. You can quote that scripture, by your stripes you're healed, by your stripes you're healed, by your stripes you're healed, by your stripes you're healed. If you ain't pulling on him, If you ain't pulling on him, you can quote everything in the scriptures, but by faith, you've got to pull. That's when he will turn around. You think by knowing scripture, things are going to change? The demons know scripture. What makes change is your faith. Your faith pulling on him. Oh, she said, if I could just touch his clothes. If I can just touch his clothes, I can be made whole. She didn't know she was touching God Almighty himself. But I find very interesting that what is on Jesus is what healed her. What is inside of you when you say yes to Christ? All of Christ is inside of you. So if someone comes in contact with you that has demons, let me remind you, if they were to only touch the outer garment, that's you, they would be healed. Don't be fearing no demons when people are acting like a fool. You walk in there because you have power. You have authority. You have more than everything. You change the atmosphere. You walk in there and you set the captive free. You walk in there and you run the devils out of there. You get in there and you say, I am the I am in your life. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. And he is inside of you. All of him. Not a little piece of him, but all of him. You've got to place a demand and pull on Jesus. Don't push Jesus out of the way. Don't push him out of the territory. Pull on Jesus. Pull on him. And when you pull on him, you will see great and mighty works turn towards you. You understand? You can't be pushing Jesus out of the way. Your doubt is what's going to begin to push him away. It is your faith that draws him. It is the faith that pulls him. Religion couldn't do it for Jairus either. Oh yeah. All the festivals couldn't do it. All the religious acts couldn't do it. It was your faith that pulled on him, that released virtue. That even when everybody else was around, you know what that represents? Church buildings. Just because you got a lot of folks in the building don't mean you got a lot of believers. Just because you got a lot of folks sitting down in the chairs doesn't mean that they're pulling on Christ. Maybe they're just doing their duties that's religious to get to church on a Sunday, get to church just to get there. And then say, oh, they speak in tongues? Oh, that's no longer needed. Oh, they're faith healers? Oh, those are no longer needed. We sit amongst people that have a different belief. But it's the ones that pull on Christ. That pull on him. And when you pull on Jesus, he will answer you. He will speak to you. He will bring healing to you. Who is? Jesus. Jesus does this. There is no other. There is no other. There will never be another. Whether you want to form it, carve it, plant it, water it, there will be no other Jesus. When he returns, oh, he's coming back for his bride. His bride is the church. And we have to understand that we are the church, his bride, that is being made perfect. Being made perfect for the perfect one to come. Amen. And if you got an issue right now that's in your body that is not perfect, now's the time to stand. If you got something in your body that's not perfect, if you have an ailment, a disease, you have something in your body that is not perfect, I'm here to eradicate it. I'm here to declare, as we pull on Christ, to release right now virtue for healing. Virtue for healing in your body to bring that which was made whole back into alignment to be whole. Because we start out perfect.
And through the course of our life, we've had detours. We've had delays. We've had distractions. But God is saying, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. I'm here to release to you what you're in need of. But you must pull on Jesus. It's not a faith healer. It's the faith in him, the healer, that's going to release what you need. So whatever you're in need of right now, whatever it may be, whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever is in your heart that needs to be healed, it is time right now to confess it before the Lord. Confess it before the Lord. Each one of these individuals were not perfect. They were not perfect. They were not saints. They were regular, everyday people. But they pulled on Christ, the anointed one. They pulled on the anointed of Jesus that brought healing to them. Right now, as you stand there before him, I want you to pull on him. Pull on him. Pull on him. Pull on him. Don't push him away. Pull on him. Pull on him. Migraines. In the name of Jesus, I bind you now and I release peace. Peace. The flow of oxygen in the bloodstream right now. Regulate right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. A pinched nerve. A herniated disc. In the name of Jesus, I release healing right now in the name of Jesus in that very area of your back and your spine. At the base of your neck that has given you problems since the car accident. In the name of Jesus, I release healing now in the name of Jesus. I release virtue now in the name of Jesus. Pull on him. Pull on him. A chemical imbalance in your brain. I release normalcy. I release right now the neurons. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for bringing healing, settling, settle. ADD, ADHD, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak against it right now. And I release the very presence of God within your mind to bring healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. An erratic heartbeat, a heart murmur, heart palpitations. Right now in the name of Jesus, I release healing right now in the area of your heart. Now in Jesus' mighty name. Touch them, God. Touch them. Touch them. They have to touch you and draw on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. It's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about our agendas. It's all about you, God. Jesus, have your way. I thank you for your healing virtue going forward. I thank you, God, that as your people begin to draw on you, they pull on you. More of you, God. More of you. She touched God. She was made whole. Now let us touch you, Lord, to be made whole. I speak to a system that is attacking your body. And this system begins to attack you within your bloodstream and in the sugar levels. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak against a system that has been turned and has turned on itself. I release right now, Father, the divine order in which you ordained for the system. And Lord, I release it right now in Jesus' mighty name. A divine healing right now. Lord, they're just so used to being touched by men. I'm not touching them. You touch them. There's metals within your blood. There's metals within your blood that is causing so much pain.
There's metals. I speak against the metal that is in the blood and in the system to remove the metals from the body right now that is not of you. God, release it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Remove the excess iron right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I even thank you right now that you will regulate it, Lord. Regulate it now in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. I keep seeing a cluster. It's white, and it looks like it's has to do with your kidneys. Has to do with your kidneys. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak into that region of the organ now, Father, to remove every stone that is trying to crystallize and form. I speak against it now in the name of Jesus, and I begin to release this word of knowledge, Father, into that region, Lord. And I thank you that it's regenerating right now, and it's releasing and out, Lord. But I thank you, God, that there's peace, Lord, that you regulate that organ now in Jesus' mighty name. Have your way, Lord. Have your way.